So the next presenter is myself, so I introduce myself. I'm currently an assistant professor at the University of Loma Linda. And also an associate researcher at Karolinska Institute, where I did my PhD and my postdoc. And currently I'm involved in several studies with children, the European Youth Heart Study, and other studies, and also some with adult and transgenerational studies like the Shelleftia and the Overkalik study. A new study that we initiated about 2 years ago is the physical genesis study, and we want to present some preliminary results from this study and explain a little bit how we came about it. So the title of this presentation is First Results from a New School-Based Children's Study Investigating Associations Between Health Behaviors, Social Cultural Context, Obesity and Health Outcomes in School Children. We have no conflicts of interest to declare. And here's just a little picture from our school in Southern California, the palm trees, and then we see a little bit of the mountains. But the weather here in Chicago is good too. When we look at the shape of things to come, maybe you have seen this picture. It was on Time magazine in 2003, the cover page. And we wonder at times, is this the way we are going? And do we want to prevent this? Should we? Maybe we should. In the United States, approximately 30% of children ages 6 to 11 are overweight and 15% are obese. Among adolescents 12 to 19 years of age, 30% are overweight and 16% are obese. What is of special interest, however, is that the prevalence of obesity quadrupled over the last 25 years among children and has more than doubled among adolescent males and females. So there is a definite and disturbing trend that we can see in this country and also in other countries. One country which might have surpassed the development here is further south in Mexico. And it's kind of competing right now which one has the highest obesity rate overall. Maybe not the best race to be into it, but we see trends not only here but also in other countries and also worldwide. This rapid increase of obesity raises important questions in regards to its etiology and, importantly, how to prevent a further increase. The study of etiological factors that are linked to obesity and metabolic risk in children and tracking these factors is thus of an important and vital importance. And in this context, school environments will be and can be a good ground to check out what's happening. Use schools to determine their fitness, their obesity, and overall health status, and look at them in a more a complete way at their environment, the context of the school, and the behaviors of the children inside and outside of the school context. In order to address some of these questions, the physical genesis study was initiated in 2014, and a pilot study was started, recruiting students from SDA schools from across the United States. Why SDA schools? There are some interesting factors with this particular population. Smoking rate is only about 2% in the adult SDA or Seventh-day Adventist population. A large majority don't drink. There are about 20% of current drinkers which don't drink in excess, which excludes a whole range of cofactors and effects directly their health, And so if one can take out tobacco smoking and to a certain degree drinking, and one wants to look at cardiovascular disease and other factors, it's quite of interesting to see how it fathoms out. In addition, about 50% of the adult SDA population is vegetarian, which makes for interesting comparison if one wants to look at dietary patterns, and particularly comparing plant food diets with omnivore diets, and see how risk factors and obesity levels might differ. So the primary purpose of the physical genesis study is to investigate associations and interactions between physical fitness and activity, general health behaviors, obesity, health, and academic performance in students enrolled in SDA schools in the grades 5 to 12. Further investigations can also look at transgenerational associations and interactions between parental health behaviors, health status, demographic factors, and environmental effects and children health behaviors and health indicators. And here's a graph that illustrates a bit the different interactions and associations that can be looked at the study. At the center is obesity and health status, and how that interacts with physical activity and physical fitness, possible interactions and associations with academic performance, and also looking into the socioeconomic and parental background, dietary intake, social environment, and geographic region. We are all embedded in a network and a fabric which includes the environment, and as we saw in the previous presentation, social interactions, friendships can make a difference, but there are also other factors which go beyond that which might have an influence on health and, in this case, obesity in particular. So the methods for the overall study are, it's a longitudinal study. It's initially planned to proceed for the next 5 years, following children from 5th grade up to 10th grade or further, depending on how long we will go, but also the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. In addition, new cohorts will be sampled. So this year, we had our first sample in the pilot study from 5th to 11th grade, but each year, also new students which enter 5th grade will be entered in the study, and so eventually we might be able to compare 5th graders with 5th graders from 5 years from now, 6th graders with 6th graders from 5 years from now, but also how they develop over time, how their health levels and perspectives might change. As I mentioned, the physical genesis study has some unique characteristics that can provide some interesting insights in the associations and interactions between health behaviors and outcomes. As 59% of the students are SDA, and that gives us also a nice comparison between students that come from SDA families in the same schools with students which are not SDA, and make also a comparison where maybe lifestyles might be different. However, living in the same social context and going to the same schools. And here, just to repeat it again, previous studies with the adults have shown that they have a very low smoking rate, about 2%, low alcohol consumption of less than 8% of current alcohol consumption, and a high prevalence of vegetarians, 45 to 50%. And so this can provide us with some interesting factors that we can look at. What types of assessments do we do with the children? All the children have the possibility to participate in a physical fitness test if they are healthy enough to do so. There are some exclusion criteria if they are sick, or if there are some other reasons why they cannot participate, but in general, all the children can participate in the physical fitness tests. The test is based on the fitness scrum protocol, which is also part of the presidential youth fitness tests. Many states use those tests, and they're already implemented in the schools, so that makes it relatively easy to use that also for our study after they have given their consent to have the fitness tests in the schools, and we can use the raw data for analysis. The categories are aerobic, BMI or body fats, abdominal strength and endurance, trunk extensor strength and flexibility, upper body strength, endurance and flexibility. And to just name some examples, some of the tests include push-ups, they include how the flexibility are, shoulder flexibility, and doing also other tests like a 1 mile run, a 20 meter pacer, and so on. And so we can have some degree of objective physical fitness tests. We will also have some validation studies where we will co-validate those results with ergometer bikes and heart rate monitors to check that out. Anthropometric measurements include body height and body weight without shoes. And we will also measure hip and waist circumference. And in some schools, that will not be possible everywhere, but also some skin fold thickness at different sides of the body. All participating students and their parents complete an online questionnaire that assesses demographics and lifestyle factors, and they include birth weight, breastfeeding, smoking status, physical activity, sedentary behaviors, dietary patterns, general health status, sexual maturity, environmental factors, and other important information that relate to the study goals of the project. And I think that's an important part of the study where we not only assess the students, but also the parents, mothers and fathers, and have an idea, for example, about their dietary patterns, ideas about how old they were when they had the first child, the second child, the child that actually participates in the study, if it was breastfed, for how long, when solid foods or other foods were introduced, and so that we might have an idea of these factors. Smoking status, of course, and since it's a particular study population, also information about their vegetarian status, when they initiated it or when they stopped it or if they grew up in a vegetarian household. And so we have enriched questionnaire that can give us some ideas about their background. In the validation study, we will have, in addition again to the FFQ that we do in the a questionnaire, also a detailed food report, and we will repeat that. We are just starting that out now with a validation study, and we will have 6 repeated measurements. We will do anthropometric measurements with our own technicians, physical activity assessment with accelerometers to co-validate and compare the self-reported physical activity data that we have from the students, bike ergometer tests and some additional tests, and with some subgroups we will also have blood tests and genetic tests for which we have also got some funding. So what are some of the preliminary results of our pilot phase? This is the overall study population that we want to reach, and you can see on the map the different types of schools. And as you can see, the school sizes vary greatly from actually less than 10 students per school. These are very tiny little schools, sometimes with the principal being the teacher and having a multi-grade class, to larger schools from up to 2,000 students, which is fully fledged. And you can see what some of the challenges are of the study, also, for example, assessing the physical fitness. Some schools might not have the teachers to do that in an appropriate way, and so we have to do some quality control to check out how to make sure that the assessments are done in the right way. Fortunately for the survey data, it's all online based, and so all the students have access to a particular dedicated website where the questionnaire is done in a bullet form, very easy to follow, and students were able to do that in 30 to 45 minutes, depending on their age and aptitude. However, there are also some challenges with that, because not all families might have access to a computer, and some of the smaller schools might not have all the access. So this is one of the limitations of the study, because of the money restraints, not being able to use paper forms, but all being online, only students will be able and their parents will be able to participate who have access to electronic means. In this first phase, the questionnaire was only based in English, but we are planning to also have a Spanish version of the whole survey, but this will be happening in about a year's time. As you can see also from the map, participating schools are well distributed across the United States. And if you look at this, this is kind of corresponding to the urban centers and centers overall in the United States. The Midwest a little bit less populated, and then you have the East Coast, the West Coast, and areas around. And something also particular in this map, you see also that on the left side it says urban and rural. This determines if the school is in an urban or rural setting, determined by the USDA Rurality Index. The schools that participated in the pilot phase were 180 out of a potential 700 schools that could participate, and we had 876 students participating, and I was rather surprised because the questionnaires were complete, and both the parents and the students really faithfully completed the questionnaires, and after our initial analysis, the data looks reasonable. It's not like everything is the same. You know how students sometimes fill out their questionnaires and make some jokes. Well, there were a few of those too. But in general, the questionnaires were nicely and reasonably filled out. And conducting some preliminary tests, we could see that actually the results make sense. So a total of 876 students participated. Many of the schools were characterized by small student populations. 42% had 25 or less students, 27% had between 26 and 75 students, 19% between 76 and 150 students, and 12% more than 150 students. So you can see it's an interesting range, and it will be of interest, since we have also the public data available for that, comparing those schools and the students in those schools with public schools in the area, which might be comparable. Sex-adjusted BMI, according to Cole, show that about 20% were overweight and 9% were obese. When we looked at it from a regional perspective, and I don't show it now here, but when we look at it regionally, in the West Coast, California particularly, obesity and overweight rates are much lower than in other areas, for example, the East Coast, where the obesity levels were higher, which were, however, in turn significantly lower still than in the southern states, which corresponds quite well with what we see in the general populations. Interesting enough, students attending smaller schools had significantly higher odds of being obese after adjusting for sex, age, and maternal education than students attending larger schools. However, that might also be correlated to the fact that in rural settings, in the U.S., children and also adults tend to be more obese than in urban settings. which corresponds to findings from previous studies, and also the socioeconomics might be different. So the odds ratios of being obese were 0.25 for the larger schools when compared to the smaller schools. Age was positively associated with obesity with an odds ratio of 1.4. And here you see also the confidence intervals for that. This is also a trend that we usually see. The older children get, the more likely they are obese. What are some of the preliminary conclusions? The pilot phase indicates that the study is feasible. We saw we can also do it now with a larger group. However, we are thinking of not including all the schools, but those which will be a representative sample, even though we will extend it to those even more than the schools that are already participating. The preliminary data is showing an interesting mix of small to medium-sized schools from which the eligible student population is being recruited. And coming from Germany myself, I find that rather interesting. In Germany, there is no concept of, for example, homeschooling. You have to send your children to a public school. There are a few private schools, and it also shows a bit the cultural and social divergence between different countries, whereas here there is a large number of parents who send their children to private schools, and especially religiously motivated parents who send their children to religious schools, and how that might differ in their composition and also in terms of socialization and other ways, how they might differ from students which go to other types of schools. This initial results can show us that we need to look at it a little bit more deeply and look at the socio-cultural context in which we have seen this. The physical genesis study has the potential to provide new data that can help differentiate multidimensional factors that may contribute to obesity and other adverse health outcomes. And I'm actually eager to see the further studies. We are right now getting to analyze our nutrition data. It's quite a laborious thing. Just the nutrition part of the questionnaire was about 10 pages. So it was also quite laborious for the children. And it takes a while for those who are in nutrition studies to elucidate all the data and get all the nutrient values and then also validate it. However, some of the interesting results that we already found in the children in comparison to their grandparents, as I said, in the general population, the adventist population, about 50% are vegetarian. In the children, we find that about 20% are vegetarian, which reflects their parents, where there's a trend. However, those who were vegetarian were less likely to be obese than those who were not. And even adjusting for physical activity and other factors. So these were some of the preliminary results. And here's our group. Some of the members are actually here. Kim and Ahmed, which are part of the study group in Loma Linda, who are part of it. Rhonda, Gina, Sam, Nazira, and some others which are actually not listed here, and I want to also thank them for their help. Any questions? Yes. That also depends on the schools. Actually, it's true. I don't have it here. It is different from region to region. For example, in California, we have a high percentage of Asians in the study population, especially in the large schools, and which is actually over 60%, and about 30% Caucasians, very few blacks. In the smaller schools, we have a higher percentage of Hispanic and black students. But then again, it's very diversified. it's different from location to location, and I want to split that up in a further analysis, because if I just give the numbers for the overall population, it might not actually represent how bad that actually means on a lower level. Yes. Right. Yeah, we are going to do that, but the data for that is not yet ready. So we have the data ready now for physical activity and the questionnaire data, which is excluding the nutrition data because that takes more time to elucidate, and we want to wait until it is validated before we can give some more interesting results in that. Yes. Maybe in the future, at least some parts of it, I think so. But I think we are going to mine it first and then we will see. However, as with any data, especially with children, we have to be careful that it will not be identifiable. So it will be in a more aggregated way. Yes, one more. Yes. That's actually something that we can consider for the sub-studies. As I said, for the sub-studies, we are going to do some more detailed analysis. For example, looking also on epigenetic differences between children from certain types of backgrounds with others. And also where we can look at parental influences, and then we can look at that. And the biome would be actually, microbiome would be a very important factor to look at it too. But as I said, that's for something, we don't have the funding for that yet, but it is it's a great idea.
But when you have this data, yes. Really?
Yes. Exactly, yeah, it would be very interesting to compare. And just maybe look at some extremes, those which have certain characteristics with those which haven't. And so one would need so many subjects for testing that out. Thank you so much.